Hey everyone, welcome to the next episode here at Music Addict Podcast, of course, with myself, Tom McDonough, and my co-host,
Marcus Taylor.
Yes.
I never know if you're going to say it.
Yeah, sometimes I'll do it and you're going to, it depends, I'm going to shake that up all the time on you. So, this is another great, awesome interview that we had this week. You know, I love doing these interviews. I don't care if they're famous, not famous. Everybody in music that has to discuss something in music, it is amazing to hear the process set in place, but how they do the music, what they want to do with their music, and how they got into it, and what they want, what they envision for it. And I've heard, you know, umpteen stories, and funny enough, almost all of them don't coincide and repeat. It's funny how that is, regardless of how famous or small they are, they all have unique blends to their stories.
Yeah, it's funny. The music may, you know, the notes of the music may ring similar, but the stories are all pretty unique. And I've enjoyed speaking to people, especially this latest one, because it's such an interesting take on how and why they got into the music. What is it? When the Sun Sets?
When the Sun Sets. So, yeah, Zach from When the Sun Sets. From Chicago. So
hey, Chicago, shout out Chicago.
Yep.
You know I'm biased.
Go Bears.
That's uncalled for, Tom. But hey,
we'll
be good this year. Yeah, go Lions. I'll tell you what,
Lions look good. Bears don't. They didn't do bad either. So I'm okay with that. And the Blackhawks look good going to the draft. They may get the number one pick again. So
okay,
go Chicago.
See, that's kind of a mean spirited. You know they look good because they're going to draft well. That's a shot, Tom. Don't think I didn't notice.
No, they're better than the Red Wings, so it's okay.
Still a shot.
You got goaltending. We don't. So
it's like my buddy talking to me about the White Sox this year. I'm like, it's just not. We're just not going to talk. Yeah, I'm done with Chicago sports right now.
Yes, we can talk about anything and everything on this show.
we always get on the sidetrack. But Zach, When the Sun Sets, man, you know they're so cool because their whole premise is a mental health thing.
Yeah,
and mental health was kind of neglected for so long. You know, our generation, you just sucked it up and moved on.
It was taboo. You could never talk about it.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting to see so many people with such a priority of talking about mental health, and their band, that's kind of their thing, and I've really enjoyed the music.
Yeah, they with a positive message out about spreading it. They do a lot of events, you know, with raising awareness to it. I always thought that was cool. They did a lot with some of the hotlines and other places that do a mental health awareness. And I thought I agree. It's very huge. It is still not well talked about, even though people are open about it. It's not well talked about as much as it should be in today's day and age, is that we're, you know, with the digital age of us talking to people from here to, you know, India and back in two seconds, we should be able to talk more openly about, I guess, how about this? We, in our day, we are not allowed to talk about our feelings.
Right.
So people should be able to, hey, this is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. Anybody else have any, you know, anything you can relate to this story without negative comments coming in, like in social media with the trolling?
Yeah, it's my son, he's about to be a junior in high school, and at his school, they can take like 3 or 4 days a quarter for mental health days. Didn't exist when we were young, Tom. I probably would have abused it, but still.
I would have.
Yeah, but it's a thing. I mean, it's just cool to see where we've come, and I don't know. I've never thought about putting mental health issues of my own into song, and it seems like that would be a very it's different than writing
very
about
personal
love, you know.
Yeah.
When you're writing about, you know, the deepest places in your mind, I think that's got to be tough, and so I applaud them for taking that on.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right, we used to walk 2 miles or 12 miles and 2 feet of snow.
Uphill both ways.
Uphill both ways. Yes. 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 Yes.
yep, we did all that, but you couldn't go home and say, emotionally, I feel drained.
Yeah, well, guys, we went home and said that.
Yeah, I never had a conversation like that in my life when I was a kid.
No, go home, do your chores, do your night work.
Yeah, you know, it was a different time.
Different time, and I'm glad that these guys have taken the time to honestly put a positive spin with a positive message into and making mental health awareness a priority.
Right, and without it, not to sound like a stereotype, but it's not all depressing music.
No, they've always looked at it positive ways. I think when they songwrite collaborating together, they try talking about ways to better help other people, you know, others understand what's going on and maybe relate to it. And then, you know, obviously putting all these positive mental health awareness, as well as prevention, suicide prevention, and all the other things that goes along into this whole category into their shows, with people being there to be able to talk to people. That's huge. That is a safe place, I think, in a lot of ways.
And it's so needed, because when you look at the numbers, to have a world that is so much more connected, people are lonelier and more depressed than ever. It's unbelievable when you look at the numbers. So obviously, this type of movement is needed and necessary. And a band like When the Sun Sets is taking it upon themselves to help spread the word, help be about this need of self-aware and mental health.
Yeah, I thought Zach did a great job. You know, when he was talking with us, he was very upbeat. I enjoyed the conversation.
Surprisingly open.
Open, you know, yeah,
it's
very.
Just a personal thing for a lot of people. He was surprisingly open and candid, and I really enjoyed his spin and the way he talked about how his music actually helps people. You know, my music helps people dance, so I think he's got a much better calling than I, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, he's out there maybe saving lives, and I'm up there hoping you tap your toe.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. You know, the other things we're looking for this year, obviously, with the stuff going on at Music Attic, our award show at the end of this year, make sure you submit to that at musicattic.org.
Yeah, the submissions are going well. We're getting some good submissions, so don't wait too long.
Yeah, keep them coming. We love to keep hearing new music and new submissions. Definitely got a good categories available. Also, there's a newsletter.
Absolutely.
We provide a lot of information to help empower you to take control of your career in music. Definitely, it's free.
Yep, I was going through reading back issues the other day. I mean, it's just, they're good resources. I have people at my studio asking questions, and I said, hey, you know, if you go to Music Attic, there's a newsletter that I think will help you. And then I went and, you know, looked at some back articles to make sure that I was correct, and I was. I mean, we've got a lot of information there.
A lot of stuff packed in there. So, yeah, definitely check that out. It's free. You know, it doesn't hurt to sign up there. Also, we're building on a whole bunch of other stuff going on at the website. You know, we're always coming up with new stuff, but we have stuff in the works for later this year. You know, definitely check out everything we do, plus all our featured interviews we do, and, of course, our podcast, too. You know.
That's right.
Can't argue there.
But yeah, you know, it's fun trying to be a resource to help people through things that we had to learn the hard way.
Yeah. Well, I figured you and I both had that feeling. If we can help someone not make the mistakes we made and learn from our mistakes, then I've done my job.
Yeah. You know, we can at least, you know how we are, Tom. We want to inspire people to do their own research, and hopefully we can do that. We try to give people not movie information, because it's never like it looks in the movies.
No.
We try to tell people this is the way it's done, and do your own research. And I think so far we've been pretty good and true to that.
Pretty successful at that.
Absolutely.
Other than that, I would have to say, you know what, this one, let's get right on to our interview.
All right, Tom. See you on the other side.
Hey, everyone. Our guest today is Zach Baumgartner. That's what I want to say. Baumgartner because of, I remember because of hockey. So it's one of the things I always remember it from because that is a popular name in hockey. So I wanted to say that. Yeah. Yes. So Zach from When the Sun Sets. Awesome name for a band. I love it. My first question I want to fire with when we get going is where that name come from. But Zach, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
And welcome for Chicago guys. Hey, man, it's hard to get out of Chicago, so I love having Chicago guys on.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes, and which is nice to see that we actually, and so you're part of our Reverb Nation campaign, which is where we hooked up at. And funny enough, we had several people from Chicago submit, so I was really surprised because normally you see trends, but I didn't see that coming. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was good to see, especially with Mark being a Chicago native and being part of the music scene there. It's great to see that Chicago has music alive. It's much different than my Detroit scene, it being very. Completely different than Chicago. I like the Chicago scene better than Detroit scene.
We can argue about that another time. At least you guys have some established labels there that'll still look for people. We got
to go find
them.
Yeah, we've had some great times in Detroit for sure. Yeah.
Yes. I just always there's definitely different distinct.
Oh yeah.
Sounds. So I got to ask, where did the name come from? I love the name. It was one of the first things that I actually. Looked at was I always look check when we check things out, and even when we hit the button, I always look, but that name caught my eye first, actually.
Because I was sitting with a friend of mine. I started doing acoustic stuff just at bars when I was 16 years old, and a buddy of mine who had been doing the same thing, I told him I wanted to start a band, and we were like, well, first thing we got to do is start with a name. So I thought of As the Sun Sets, and we did our research, and I was like, oh, apparently there's already a punk band. They're not still a band anymore, but had that name. And I was like, well, how about When the Sun Sets? So it was just kind of like firing off ideas. And over the first year, I really tried to figure out what it meant to us. And a lot of our focus is mental health based. And I think When the Sun Sets, being nighttime, that's when a lot of people have time to reflect on really what happens in their lives and what happens in their days and what's frustrating them. And I feel like it really once we found how it fit with us, I wouldn't choose any other one. But in the moment, it was really just firing off some ideas that we liked, and we happened to land with this one. So,
man, that's beautiful. I was hoping you were going to say we all like the color orange.
I don't know if I can say that for all of us. So I got a couple of guys that'll do orange and purple.
Hey, man, but you guys have a pretty cool sound. Chicago's known for that sound, that rock driving sound. I really like what you guys do. What do you consider your musical style to be? I've heard punk, but I want to know what you call it.
Yeah, a lot of us out here, we refer to it just as pop punk. It's influences from Green Day, Blink 182. Some 41, kind of bands that were on the more commercial side of punk. So that's kind of, that's where a lot of the bands out of here kind of classify as, and it's actually been a pretty big genre over the past few years. So it's nice to see it's growing.
Yeah, Blink blew that up.
Oh yeah. They blew that wide open. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Green Day had success. Some 41, again, a very, didn't get as much attention as the other two, but phenomenal live show.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely cool stuff.
Thank you.
So would you say there, Blink, are those kind of your influences, or are you just – that's just the genre you're in?
That's the genre we're in. I would say, some of our influences are bands like Newfound Glory, mm-hmm. Fall Out Boy – and then A Day to Remember, we kind of all pull, our band members range 14 years. So a lot of us pull from different, decades, our favorite decades, our years for the genre. It's really nice to see it blend too. It's classic and modern at the same time. So
yeah, it's got that early 2000s vibe, but modernized. Yeah. It's not
100%.
Not the full 2000s vibe, but really, in my wheelhouse, every band you mentioned there is on my playlist daily.
Yeah,
it is that genre. It is very energetic. You know, yeah. A lot of people wanted to call it alternative rock back then, but it really,
yeah.
It was, but it wasn't at the same time because it did tip. I mean, think about it, Sirius when they did the pop rocks. I mean, it really, yeah. You know, some pop songs that rocked, but it really, truly, that's where you guys really would fall into is that.
Yeah.
And it is just everything. I've always said rock could never exist without a poppy sound in modern days. It just can't. And the way things have changed so dramatically in the music scene. So you guys did a good job. I love the sound. I love the feel for it. You know, it to me, it was more like home in respects of music wise.
And the other thing, if you don't mind commenting, you know, I run a studio out of Chicago. I'm Island Chicago recording studio, and I rarely get bands anymore. Hip hop R&B is generally computers. So I'm just glad that it's a band. It's so rare to see musicians now. And do you find it difficult now when you're dealing with like engineers and things that aren't really musicians, and then you're almost sometimes speaking two different languages, or is it just, have you guys got it worked out?
I think for us, we haven't ran into that yet. I think we've only been with two producers ever. For like 3 years, we were with a guy that he ended up just moving out of state, and he really helped us like find our way and how to track and how to make everything sound clean, mm-hmm. and just be prepared. And the guy we've been working with lately, for the past like 4 years now, he's been such a blessing with us. He's a musician all around. He's a drummer, a professional drummer, but he can play everything. So it's really nice. Sometimes he can help like hone in, our music theory and stuff like that, where, you know, I used to go in and I just be like, this is what I'm going to sing you. And he's like, well, you know, these are the notes you're actually hitting. And it's like, he really gets the artist interested, and we all dive deeper into the music. So it's really nice.
That is.
Yes, and rare in today's day and age, really.
100%.
Yeah. Most people don't go to studio, don't even go, not everyone goes to studio anymore. It isn't like it was at one time. It has changed so dramatically with that. Half time, people are just cutting vocals and everything's, again, everyone, you know, half the people can't play music instruments anymore.
Yeah.
Or understand everything. So now with the age of technology, they don't need to.
Yeah.
So it is a much different scale. You know, Mark's studio is completely, you know, definitely old school for the fact that it is a full studio with everything, you know, capable in a studio. And you don't see it as much except for the historic, you know, venues of that. And it's good that see people that they go back into and actually, you know, create music there instead of in their laptop in their bedroom.
Yeah, here's the splice loop I found. I'm going to make a song out of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. But to be honest, I remember once I was home working on music and I'm frustrated. I'm looking for a guitar loop and my wife comes in. She says, hey, man, don't you play guitar? And I'm like, well, yeah,
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I'm like, I'm sitting here. I'm like, I can't exactly knock on the splice thing either, right? Because it's like, it is, there's a convenience factor, right? It's good for the, I think for us, we use it as a tool for inspiration. And then we bring our instruments out and we will demo everything raw. And it's nice to get inspired from stuff like that. I feel like it's very easy to just grab it all and be like, all right, this is my song. I'm just going to, it already sounds good. I'm going to release it, cut vocals, and that's it.
And that's it, yeah. But that's why I like in your genre, you guys have to be able to play. Because when people come to see you live, they expect musicianship.
100%.
They really do. And the singing is stellar.
Oh, thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Hey, man, you do your thing. You're hitting those notes, man. It's not an auto-tuned kind of, I mean, you're hitting the notes, man. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, from our two background in the music industry for so many years, we're going to tell you that we're probably harder on most artists than most people are because of the fact of all the years of experience we've been doing. You know, me, I did touring, and I did it from the artist end and the label end. And Mark's got all these years in the recording studio as well, the label end. And so we have all that stuff. Sometimes we're harder than we want to be. But I look at everything and listen to everything clearly, You know, do they, is F, and they, I'm sure Mark gets sick of hearing me say that all the time, FM ready radio or FM radio ready music. Mm-hmm. And I always think of it in those terms because it is what, you know, makes the world go round.
100%.
But at the same time, my personal feel is, does the music, does it check all the boxes? Can you, you know, the lyrics are number one, is one of the big things for me, you know, as a songwriter, is the biggest thing is the lyrics. How do they match? Did they go together? What goes on? And Mark's going to say something, his comment will come here. And the bridge, is there a bridge?
And the bridge, yeah. You know, Tom is like the master of writing a bridge, and every song he has a bridge. But he is gifted at it, and we laughed at it. It's almost a lost art now. You don't 100%. Hear as many. Every song used to have a really good bridge. You hardly hear them anymore. Maybe yep. You get an instrument break, but you get, I mean, you'll hear an instrument break more than you'll hear a bridge now. So Tom's always leaning on people. Well, it needs a bridge.
But yeah, when I started writing, that was standard.
Yeah, back in the day it was standard, and almost every memorable song going back to the 50s has a bridge in it that we remember, that we hear, that we consistently hear over and over, that inspire us for today. So yeah, I'm always hard on that fact. But when you guys are writing, and you know what, one of the great questions that came out of this with the group was, one of it was, the story behind getting matching jet skis was a bad idea.
Yeah. So
where
the story,
did this name? Where
oh,
did
the
name
is completely random. So my bassist Rob, there's a band in our scene called Mom Jeans, and they got really nice. Big. So they got really big on making these long titles. Another band called Hot Mulligan does it, and
yeah,
it's just like these really long titles that sometimes don't make sense. But it's like kind of to make a broader point that the title might not be the reason the people are listening to the song. It's about the content within the song. And sometimes, like, a title like that will attract somebody. So, like, he tried to get clever with it. The song is about, like, marijuana and using that as a tool when I was going through something really tough. And just like, being there for people as well. And so I was like, he said match. And he was like, well, why don't we make the album cover a match? And he was like, you know what? I got a better idea. We'll do getting matching jet skis is a bad idea, so it's a little hidden in there. And then he's like, it'll still be a really random song title, and we'll just test it out, you know?
Nice. Several people's interest. And it did. When I saw that, I was like, it did make my wheels turn. Like, what?
You go, what?
Yeah, what? Yeah. What's going on here? And why? What's there's a story this behind this. And again, mostly, and so your guys preparing for live stage, for live shows. What is it you guys go into? Do you guys have any regular routine you do for live shows? Do you guys ever see, most bands have rituals that they do, you know, of what that they do this before each show, just because to make sure everything goes, you know, it's like the same thing in sports. People do that in sports to make sure that the game goes well.
Yeah, I think for us, we're a little less traditional in that because a lot of us like come from, well, we have one guy out in Fort Wayne right now that he's living out there. So we don't even get to really practice much. So it's like, we'll get a rehearsal. We'll do 6 hours before like a weekend tour. And like we'll tighten everything up. I think as far as like before the shows go, we all just make sure that everybody's in a good headspace because the entire point of our shows is to bring everybody out of whatever they are experiencing in their own lives, even if it's just for 30 minutes, just to take them away from that and it just bring them into the music. So I think just making sure everybody's in the headspace, we all make sure everybody's in a positive mood. We make sure like, hey, are we all good? Nobody's mad at each other. Let's go out there and let's change some lives here. I mean, that's kind of the point for us. So
that's outstanding.
Yeah, it's, you don't hear that as much anymore. From
if you don't mind me asking, anymore. You know, is it tough to write songs because of the subject matter? Is it tough to write songs, or do people just bring the ideas, or is it a brainstorm? How do you guys go about writing songs?
I think before this, before these last three songs came out, I pretty much just sat down and reflected on my own experiences. A lot of that just diving into like just deep, dark parts of my life that I didn't really like talking about. And it kind of acted like a therapy to myself, getting those out. getting to hear them, and then having people come up and being like, hey, I was going through something, and this really helped me. And so I think, like, now we're going in a little more collaborative. I have a group of members that is really dedicated to working as a team. So I think we still focus really on mental health for most of our stuff. And if somebody has a topic or some lyrics that they're writing down, it always comes from, like, a spot that we're at in our own lives. And we just take a second and we try to understand, hey, where are you at? How is this making you feel? You know, where is this stemming from? And we kind of use it kind of just like a therapy.
That is outstanding. You know, I don't think we spent enough time here saying how important mental health is and how cool it is that that is your main thing. You know, being in Chicago, there's so many things that are popular right now. You know, most of the things are sexy or they're violent. So to hear the platform you're on, I really want to do everything that I can to help support it. Can you tell me more of how you came to this place of wanting to support mental health?
Of course, yeah. I think it was from my own experiences. I attempted suicide a couple times when I was in high school, starting from when I was 15.
Wow.
So it's, you just never know the severity of what you're going through until it's already happened to you. Like, looking back, a lot of the stuff that I reacted this way about wasn't like a natural reaction. I shouldn't have reacted that way, but it was the type of place I was in. I was bullied a lot. I was a bigger kid. You know, I had a lot of things in the back of my mind that I didn't like about myself. And there was a lot of, like, inner demons. So I think that's kind of where I started. When I started writing, when I wrote my very first song, I wrote it for a kid who was, I think he was 12 years old at the time, and he had already had a suicide attempt, and he was a fan of our music, and I had seen him since our very first show, and so I wrote this song for him, and I realized, like, it was a way for me to recover, too, and it helped me as well as helped him, and yeah, we just, unfortunately, we just lost him about a year and a half ago. He did commit suicide.
Oh,
but yeah. You know, I think that just, he serves as a light for us, for me especially. He was only 14 or 15 years old. You know, it's like he had his whole life ahead of him, and I think that just, it really motivates me to keep this going for other kids that might be thinking the same thing.
And that's important because of the fact that you, if again, coming from, you know, the experience of that, and then you're right, back in the day, I think pretty much if everyone doesn't admit they tried it once, there generally is either they're hiding it or they really have that great of things going on.
Yeah.
And I can tell you for the fact that people in that state don't have a place, don't have the place or the ability to talk to anyone or any release or any way of trying to find their way. And music is one of the most driving forces that will make people cry, happy, do whatever, you know, it can take every emotion. And what you guys do is amazing. It is, you know, one of the things that sets you apart from everyone else. So regardless of you guys ever made it to the big scene to, you know, where you're Taylor Swift famous, you guys can sit here and say that no matter what, in the end, you guys are doing something worthy that is worthwhile, that is more important than what people are doing for money. I think what you guys are doing is much more important, and you're rich because of it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we always tell each other, like, you know, some of our shows might not be the most packed sometimes and in new cities. And, you know, it's about if you can touch one person's life, I mean, that is our job. That is why we are going to new cities. We're trying to make new friends and meet new people. We're trying to help. Like, it's a release that we never knew we needed. Like I said, like, we range in 14 years of an age range with our members, and every single one of us, just in the past 6 months, has struggled with something that we needed to talk to each other about. And it's like, if you don't have that outlet, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what could happen, you know? I mean, I guess
lonely.
The worst, 100%, yeah. You know? And it's like a lot of us shut ourselves out, and music is a good way, even when you're alone, to just not feel alone.
Yeah. So tell us about the band. You said you guys are about 14 years apart. Give us a little rundown of everyone, you know, just a little bit. You can just give our first names.
Yeah, of course. So we got Alex. He's our Fort Wayne guy. He just joined us a couple of months ago, but I've known him for about 6 years. And he's always been in bands in the pop punk scene. And, you know, since he's joined us, he's brought something new to the table, really developing us in our live setting, as well as just like helping us with the back end, be more professional. He's a sales engineer over at like Sweetwater. So he's a very professional guy. So he just helps us out with like, just how to carry ourselves and, you know, hey, you could have improved on this a little bit better. Our bassist, Rob, he's been in the scene for, 25, 30 years. He used to do Boston's merch. He used to do merch for a bunch of like reggae bands. And then he got into pop punk, like 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And, he's gotten to play with Newfound Glory. And so we linked up a few years back, and he's been like a really crucial part of developing this and, helping it like stay on the right path. Right now we have two fill-in members, but they're going to be with us as long as we can foresee it. One is Kieran. He's our drummer. He's a fitness guy from around here. He has his own fitness company where he goes and coaches. And then we got Ryan. He's our resident HR guy, also our lead guitar player. That guy, he's a party animal. He's crazy. Sometimes sometimes we need to hit the brakes on Ryan. We love him, though.
All bands have to have one. Come on.
100%, dude. Well, come on. It can't be that easy, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Somebody's got to keep you on your toes.
So you guys all songwrite together?
Yeah, so for the songwriting, it's been Rob and I for the past 2 years. Alex just came into the fold a couple months ago. He's already in studio and demoing with us. But right now, like we're kind of just trying to be the brains of the operation. There's been a lot of like member swaps and stuff. We've had people just get out of high school and they're like, hey, I really want to focus on college, or, you know, I really want to focus on my job and this just isn't for me. So we're just trying to find the right group of guys. And I think we have the perfect group right here. So we're kind of just leaving the writing to us right now. And then we're probably going to ask those guys to be a part of this full time anyway. They've been touring with us the past 6 months, and it's been nothing but great times. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, I think we'll get them
into
the fold.
You guys playing any bigger festivals? You guys are touring. I mean, you guys are playing it. And
yeah, we haven't played any larger festivals.
I know it's tougher right now because after COVID, it hasn't been as many as there was prior. I know.
100%. Yeah, we just got booked on a festival in June. I think it's their third year in North Carolina. I think it's like between 300 and 500 people, small little festival. It's really cool. But nothing huge yet. We're just waiting to build a team because it's very hard to get a hold of those guys nowadays.
It is. It's a lot tougher than everyone thinks. The whole thing in the industry as a whole, you know, as your guys' experience, you know, it's not like in the day when Mark and me were going around where you used to take your demo tapes.
Yeah.
And you take them and you hand them to every radio station, every record label.
Yeah, you get to the A&R rep.
Yeah, exactly. Back when there was real A&R reps.
Yeah.
It's a much tougher gig for the A&R people because it's a pretty much shut door. And it's a tougher industry as a whole. It's a struggle for a lot of, again, I think the worst case scenario has happened is now that we're able to talk globally to people in instant seconds, now that it's opened up hundreds, you know, tens of thousands of people to bring music into your life each day. So what is it? They say is 100,000 songs released daily.
Yeah.
A lot of music, a lot to shift through.
Yeah, 100%.
But you guys keep with your message.
I appreciate that,
man. And keep with that whole thing, because never step away from that, because that is what makes you guys stand out compared to other bands, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
And again, I'm in Chicago, so if there's ever anything that I can do to help you guys,
of
course. Let me know. Island Chicago, man. That's the studio name, Island Chicago.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah, I don't record a lot of bands anymore just because no one comes in as a band. I'm more of a a vocal boutique, but you know, man, I always, any way I can help you guys out, I can. And I love rock. One of my very first studio things was trying to program MIDI for a death metal band. MIDI drums for a death metal wow. band out of Chicago called Leadfoot. And if you ever look them up, the tempo was insane.
That's that was crazy.
That was one of my first studio MIDI kind of gigs. So I have a great respect for Chicago rock scene. So I really dig what you guys do.
Thank you, man.
So where do you guys, you know, if you're thinking about career, your career-wise, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, we've had this conversation a lot lately. We just brought a manager into the fold and kind of relayed to him, we want to make the jump from our jobs. It's a very hard thing to do, and it's work that we're prepared to go and do. We've told ourselves, like, it might mean you're 8-10 months on the road. As long as we can do it smart, I can't work remote. I'm a welder. But there's a couple guys in my band that can work remote. So I just encourage them to do that if they can. And I need to just be able to make the jump myself. As long as I can pay my bills, man, I'm not trying to make any profits. I mean, it's really just, I want to get on the road and I want to share my music with people. So I think in 5 years, we kind of all want to be at that point where, the hybrid guys can work remote from the car if they want. And, the guys that can't do that can just step away and not have to worry about their bills getting paid.
Yeah. Which is that jump it's like the Grand Canyon jump. I know.
Yep.
It's scary because of the fact that you don't, the what ifs there, you know, the looking at that and trying to gauge where you're going to be with that, with the touring, and you guys are doing what you're doing so far. You're doing sometimes on the weekends, you're getting where you can get on the shows. It's all you can do. You know, the only other thing looking at your next step would ultimately with your music is you're going to have to chart at some point somewhere on the radio to take you guys into the next level where you need to be in the touring end of it. I'm not sure if the managers mentioned that yet, but that's probably where you guys are going to end up after you guys land your feet somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we've also been trying to scale up, like you said, with the weekends. I think we did 6 last year. I think we're trying to get between 8 and 11 this year. Just going out for between 3 and 4 days. We're getting all the way out to North Carolina. We've gotten to Nashville before. We're getting to New York this year. So we're trying to get as much ground covered in the U.S. that we can. And then next year, hoping to get out for 1 week, 2 weeks at a time, and then get on with some nationals. You know, that's the end goal. But you can't get on with those guys until you've built the history. So exactly. That's where we're at right now.
Now you guys are doing well on social media.
Yes, sir.
We're very much noticed these. We always noticed everything of those stuff coming from the end. You guys are doing really well on social media. You guys got an engagement. It is all about the organic engagement. You guys are getting comments in which many people can't come back with saying out of 200 likes, you're getting 30 or more comments. It's not as common as people think it is. And it's much harder. So you guys have built an extremely good fan base that is engaging you. Mm-hmm. Not that you guys are posting every day, you know, hammer 5 posts a day and I need you guys to do this. You guys are doing what is important when it's important. And I think you guys have done really well in the social media. And so kudos to you guys in your age for paying attention to social media, because I know it's a struggle for most people in social media.
It's a struggle for all of us. Even all the younger bands I talk to, even the ones that are successful on it, are like, it's a drain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very. Yeah, trust me, it's like it takes over your life, and you're always looking at your phone, going, "What's that? What happened? Did someone like? Did someone share?"
Yeah, and then you're like, "Wait, why did I make the page in the first place? Oh wait, I'm in a band. Like, I gotta create. I gotta be inspired. You know, it's.
I'm sorry, you gotta take it from music, and I do this too.
Right.
And you guys are in the worst possible generation for going into music, because we didn't have that back in the day. Social media wasn't a thing. It was in person, much easier to handle because it was only, obviously it was real time all the time. Now you guys got social media that's running 24/7. It is a much more difficult thing for you guys to transition. Oh, I'm sorry. You have to know how to songwrite, play your instruments, sing really well. Oh, I'm sorry. Get on stage and do it well too. And at the same time, do social media. Oh, and book your shows and do.
Yeah.
This is why fans and artists have a hard time going forward into the industry, and they struggle with that. And my favorite question to ask everyone is, if you had to take one piece of advice to someone starting in the music industry, you know, some artist that wants or band that wants to do this, what would be the most important piece of advice you would give them about starting, and what they should do or look forward to?
I would say, I guess I got two. One of them would be, just don't focus on playing as many shows as you possibly can. Focus on playing quality shows. I see a lot of bands do it today. We did it for a long time where we oversaturated. We play 2 times a month. And it's like, well, if you play once every other month, somehow your crowd doubles. Yeah. And it's like, well, it happens because they see how many options they have to see you in the same city. And I think the other thing would just be, don't get discouraged by those bad shows, because every single band, I see bands that are signed to major labels pull less people than some of the local bands that are just starting out here. And it's just how the cookie crumbles. You know, you're not going to have an amazing show every single time. It's just not realistic anymore. Especially when a lot of these bands are playing Monday, Wednesday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's like, people don't do that anymore.
That's a great piece of advice, because many people, you're right, make the mistake and have to play. You're playing several days in a row. I get that they're paying, some of these places are paying, but majority of which we know in the industry is pay for play. Mm-hmm. Which is much, so if you're playing in front of your 20 friends and the same 20 friends every single time, eventually you're right. Pulling in a bigger crowd and being able to break even there and then make something, as well as showing a good show and being able to photograph it, because you're right, taking the bigger crowds and it's a quality show versus the quantity is just not worth it. That's an excellent piece of advice. And it is that it is one of the things that's just a struggle for everyone in doing that, is most people play at least 3 shows a week.
Yeah. When I understand a lot of these bands, they struggle because they can't get out of Chicago either. A lot of them, like, I own my band van. It's my daily driver. I make that sacrifice so we can do that. Not everybody has the funds or the means to be able to do that right away. So, or even the commitment when you're just starting a band. So, I mean, I get that people want to play all the time. I mean, for that, just maybe get a rehearsal space, tighten it up, film your rehearsals and build it on socials, so then when you play a show, it's going to be packed.
Excellent. And you guys have done extremely good at that with social media. One of the reasons I'm kind of glad that you even mentioned that, because it was when my next question was, how did you roll that into it? You've also guys have done the creative part of end of it, your songs, and doing that, bringing that into your social media. Very creative, because everyone wants to know. The fans all want to know the story behind the songs. I'm sure it's where you guys get asked that a lot. Again, with your guys, you have a whole different appeal on people wanting to know the songs, because there's serious content in that. And that, back to the mental health end of it, this is the thing that struggled since they took mental health out of healthcare as a primary carrier. And then it became a rider on things where you had to have an additional rider on your insurance to carry it. Mm-hmm. It has become a much bigger issue than it ever was when Mark and myself were growing up. So I've said the thing will solve, a lot of stuff will solve itself, is the minute we focus on mental health and help ourselves, then a lot of what our social economic problems that we're complaining about as a whole of society, a lot of it will fix itself in the long end, because you won't be having the people you see. You know, we see the videos of the people on airplanes going nuts. We see the people in McDonald's, the drive-thrus and on the counters yelling at the employees. And the things that most people don't understand, because I think the big basis, I think you brought it up with the 12-year-old when you said, we talked about him. You do not know what else someone is dealing with or living with, or how many walls have surrounded them, that when you meet somebody, you just don't know someone until you know them. And it's heartbreaking to hear about that, that kid. And then the ending of how that happened is a very heartbreaking story. Yeah. I feel bad for the family, the friends. I can only imagine when his parents, going through as a parent myself, it is – it's difficult, let alone himself and what he went through prior to it. So, mm-hmm. You know, it is a hot topic that I'm impressed that you guys brought this out in your music and that you guys are open about it. So, you know, is there anything you guys focus on in, you know, charity wise and mental health? What do you guys do for that?
Yeah, so we work with a couple of organizations. Both of them actually rooted in Chicago. One of them is called Hope for the Day. They're an international company now. And they used to go on Vans Warped Tour. They go to Riot Fest. They go to all these massive festivals. And they just give out resources, whether it's like cards, wristbands, just anything to give you a reminder that you're not alone. And that was an organization that really helped me. I was going through a really rough time when I was 15, 16, and I went to my first Warped Tour, and I went to their tent, and it spoke to me. And immediately the next year I went, I had the band, and I was like, well, I would love to give back to you guys because of, you know, you pretty much saved my life with your organization. And so we bring all of their resources to all of our shows. They're available to talk anytime you need them. We also have a smaller company called the Mental Health Association of Greater Chicago. And we do like private events for them. A lot of the time we'll do acoustic events in Grant Park in the city. And they do a lot of outreach with us as well.
What was the name of the second one? The Mental Health
Mental Association? Mental Health, yep. Yeah, Mental Health Association of Greater Chicago. They do MHAGC is their acronym.
I just want to make sure everyone
of course.
Hears those. You know, it's a shame that so many need it, but it's cool that these resources are out there. So I just want to make sure that we really 100%. Got a good chance to get that known. If I can, they say where a song comes from is where it touches. When you're speaking on mental health, is it awkward when people want to know? Because Tom is asking, where did that song come from? What's the inspiration? Considering some of the subject matter, seems like there could be times when that's just an awkward conversation to have.
Yeah, I think when I was 17, 18, you know, just getting these songs out to the world and like actually hearing them myself publicly, it was awkward at points because it's unless people really listen to the songs, it's like you don't really know what I was going through. I think over the years, it has to be said, in my opinion. I mean, with how we're talking about mental health and how I want people to reach out if they're having, you know, a hard time, I want to give people the same honesty, you know, with how I'm feeling and how I have felt. Over the past years, I've just been an open book about it with people. We have a lot of people that come to the merch table that say, you know, this song really hit me. What's it about? And it's nice to have those conversations with people, too, in the moment.
Very cool.
Man, I applaud you. I can't imagine how hard it would be to share that part of you. It's hard enough when it's a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other things that you have to speak on that are so personal, I applaud you for being willing to share that part of yourself.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Very cool. Zach, it's been a joy having you on. I know I keep myself in time constraints, unfortunately, but we should bring you back on. I'd love to discuss, especially after the song's released. We should, you know, feature them a little bit. So definitely like to have you back on. So thank you for being on with us.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough for the opportunity. Seriously, it's a blessing just to speak with you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
And last, you are the youngest welder I've talked to in decades.
I started when I was 16, man. It was in our high school shop class. I credit my high school on that.
I took welding in high school. I didn't think they still did those kind of things.
Yeah, it's coming back now, all that. The CNC machining, all of it.
Really? Well, man, again, congratulations on being the youngest welder I now know.
I love it.
So true.
Well, thank you guys again for having me, man. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure is ours.
We'd love to stay in touch.
Absolutely.
All right, you guys.